two facts are meaningless. My name is Eric, and I'm so happy to be recording again with my buddy Joseph. How are you, Joe?
That's me. I'm good.
You're good. I'm glad. Hey, so you told me a little bit of news this week. Are we allowed to talk about that?
Sure.
The fact that you finally named your upcoming, is it proper to say a person is upcoming? That's like, makes them sound like a movie.
I guess it'd be more like downgoing.
Your forthcoming, your downloaded, soon to be downloaded daughter will be named Princess Leia Organa Jadzia Moran.
Downloaded. That's even better.
You're still focused on that joke when I'm trying to make fun of her name. God damn it. So I was, of course, I have been calling your daughter Erica for probably since the day you told me you were going to have a child.
And I suppose you continue to do so. But
in fact, I very well may, just to confuse her in her formative years, to see how messed up I can make her. Because I kind of feel like it's my job to screw up my nephews, and I'm going to think of her as a niece, and so therefore it's my job to screw her up too.
So you're going to just screw up as many children as you possibly can.
That's entirely my goal in life.
You're kind of like the opposite of UNICEF.
Yes, I like that. I want that for my epitaph. Eric was the opposite of UNICEF. Or all things good, really. No, her name will be – tell me the name again. I don't want to screw it up.
Her name will be Stella Page.
Stella Page Moran. Or are you going with your wife's maiden name? Just to mess her up even more.
No, that's enough. That's enough names.
All right. So Stella Page. I like Stella. And, of course, there's nothing going to be more fun in the world than yelling Stella for the rest of your life as a cat on a hot tin roof. So
I like all names to have a reference in literature.
I agree.
Well, actually, technically that's a play. So that's not really literature, is it?
Yes, art. It's literature. Well,
is it? No, literature is like a – no. I mean, it wasn't a play based on a book. It was a play, so.
But you're saying literature has to be the printed word, you know, for reading rather than the printed word for performance.
That's my understanding from the Latin root of literature. But
I'm gonna I'm gonna say you're probably right. Though you know,
it's definitely. Let me rephrase. I like the name to have a basis in the creative arts.
There we go. Which of course, and you're saying Jadzia wouldn't have been.
That's the next one.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to call her, Erica Jadzia Moran.
Right. Or if it's a boy, then Curzon.
You think you're going to get surprised and have a boy? That would be.
No, I mean for the next.
Oh, for the next. Oh, okay. Right. You're right. Got to keep going with that. So, have you like decorated her room? Is it like all pink and weird shit like that, or is it you're not going that way?
No. As a matter of fact, we have eschewed the notion of, you know, pink and blue and color schemes based on gender, and even the bedding, which is pretty much like a neutral. It's like, you know, ladybugs, and it's kind of like a grass green type of thing. I just have no interest in that stuff.
She should have Barbies and G.I. Joes.
Right. Yeah.
Together.
But don't leave them in the box together.
She should have Transformers and My Little Ponies. Transformers riding My Little Ponies.
Or My Little Ponies riding Transformers.
Or, yeah, actually, I guess that would probably work.
See, you're stereotyping robots and ponies.
I know.
Assuming that the robots will be riding the ponies.
I know. How dare I? I think that's poniest of me.
Let's take your gender bigotry back a notch, shall we?
Terrible. I'm a bad human being. See, and this is the effect I plan to have on your
opposite
child.
Of UNICEF.
So hey, we haven't recorded in a while, and we're gonna actually record this one and put it up on the internet within 2 days, unlike the last two times that I put your little Facebook rant up like 2.5 weeks after, and then of course, then the whole Zuckerberg bullshit IM thing from Harvard came out. Did you see that this week?
No.
Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, who founded it at Harvard University as a student at Harvard students.
Connect you.
He, a friend of his, or maybe it's a former friend of his, released an IM transcript with Zuckerberg, who said to this person back in, I don't know, whatever it was, 2004 or 5 when it was first launching, said, hey, if you need any information on anybody from here on campus, just let me know. I got it for you. And the friend was like, what do you mean? How do you get this? He's like, these people just sent it to me. And he essentially called them stupid suckers. So you get a sense of exactly as you were saying, Mark Zuckerberg's opinion of people's private information. Apparently, right. You know, as much as I was defending Facebook, you know, there's no defending the fact that the CEO of the company really doesn't give a crap whether he gives away all of your data to the highest bidder or not. So.
Yeah, he's going to take advantage of people to the extent that they allow him to.
Yes.
And I don't want to get off on another Facebook rant here, but my opinion of Zuckerberg is pretty much less than zero. Let's not forget that he essentially or I should probably put the word allegedly here – stole the entire concept from two of his classmates. He was like the tech guy that was hired to, you know, to code the site when one of this original trio left, and he basically absconded with the entire thing. So from the very beginning, his ethics have been questionable. So it shouldn't really come as a surprise to anybody that, you know, knows the background of this entire enterprise that this is sketchy.
Yeah, you know? He sounds like a real stand-up guy, and and by stand-up I mean a douchebag. And though,
he makes those Zynga people. You know, remember that this is the company that does Farmville and Mafia Wars.
Yeah, I forget that there's even a company involved in that because it just seems so inane.
He makes those guys look like. I guess it shouldn't be surprised they're in cahoots, or at least they're what's the word I'm looking for?
Evil.
Satanic. Cooperating, you know, affiliated or whatever. They're kind of symbiotic if you think about it.
Yeah.
Zynga doesn't make games for my Xbox.
Yeah.
And there's the whole argument of whether they're called game. I mean, they're called games, but they're not really games.
That's very true. Yeah. For some people, they're more than games. They are life.
Yeah.
And those are the people who I block on Facebook.
Right. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you got to turn it back on when you do that.
Sorry, I thought I had. See, I got a little red light on my microphone, and I forgot. So
I think I have that thing here too, just so you don't think you're cooler than me. I just,
No, I totally think I'm cooler than you.
And I've got volume, I think, in here somewhere.
Yeah, I got a volume. Like I can go up, but I don't know.
Look, I'm that guy who runs Cloud City.
somebody else made a Bespin.
Lobot
joke to me this week.
Really?
Apparently, with my almost shaved head and this headset on, I am the living embodiment of Lobot.
No.
No? All right. No, that's right. Lobot wasn't overweight and sitting on his ass in a polo shirt on a Saturday afternoon.
Well, but first of all, if you had one of those headsets that go behind your head.
Yes, that's true.
And I was just referencing the scene that I'm thinking of where he like goes like this to imply this. But this is when he made the call to intercept the Imperial guys toward the end.
So when you finally found out that Lando is not a total douche.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Remember the days when we didn't know things like the fact that, you know, Luke and Vader were related and it was an actual surprise? Those were the days.
Right.
There's no surprises in movies at all anymore.
And also, this was back when Star Wars movies had a plot, and they weren't just you know, robots swinging 8 different lightsabers, and you know.
No, but hey, you know, we still like Yoda jumping around like a jumping bean until he pissed away all of his. As far as I'm concerned, Yoda used to be maybe the greatest thing in the world until he totally wussed out and did not go back to fight the future Emperor. Yoda is responsible for the full creation of the Empire.
Better as a puppet, was he?
That's totally true. If we're going to geek out about Star Wars, I want to geek out about Lost a little.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we're all caught up. You're on the same page as me.
Yes, because I watch it on network television.
Well, I
can't. Dying beast.
I can't help you there, my friend. But, wow. So, I mean, You would think with only two episodes left, we would be getting more answers than questions. And
right.
We got lots of answers in this last one, but it still raised even more questions. I mean, I have suppositions, and maybe all these things will be answered in the next, what, 3.5 hours of Lost. But all right, so Jacob basically beats the crap out of his brother, who we call the Man in Black because he didn't get a name,
right.
Throws him into the light, which is the heart of the island, and then out comes the smoke monster, and then Jacob goes and finds his dead brother's body. So my initial thought was they had converted the heart of the island into something. Now, the other thing I have read is that the smoke monster is probably the soul of the Man in Black, which I guess makes more sense because he's still obsessed with getting off the island. I guess the light on the island wouldn't be obsessed with getting off the island. But the light looked like it got extinguished too, and I'm not sure if there is a heart of the island anymore or if the heart of the island was totally converted to evil and is embodied by the soul of the Man in Black.
What I got from it was kind of like that. So the Man in Black is actually dead. Or at least his body's dead. That's just basically like the husk.
Yeah.
And so like the smoke creature, which was living inside the let's call it the glory hole.
That, do we have to? Okay. The Lost glory hole of Lost.
Right.
Yes.
That, you know, so basically became manifest in Man in Black's spirit. So it's basically Man in Black, but non-corporeal. So that's why he was around later on to talk to Jacob and say, you don't know how badly I want to kill you, and when the statue was just like a leg or whatever it was. But
So you think that the Smokey is not more – you think he's more island than he is Man in Black?
I'm not really sure what I think. It just seems to me like whatever the force was in the island combined with Man in Black became, you know, this smoke monster, malevolent force or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
So, but all right. I mean, the thing that bothered me about that episode, I was like, oh, this is great. Cause I knew, you know, we knew ahead of time that that's what this episode was going to be about.
Yeah.
And I can live with not answering every question that's been raised over the course of the series, but it really bothered me that after all of the, you know, after a full episode that was supposedly supposed to put stuff into context, that it actually created more questions, you know?
Yeah. It's like, and I'm okay with that if more, there are more answers to come, but I just, I'm not sure.
In two more episodes, right? I mean, how many?
Well, they can. I mean, if they literally spend the next 3.5 hours of television that they have to tell the story, just answering these questions, you know, I mean, they could do that. I mean, then it'll be boring exposition probably. And
you know what? They shouldn't even air them. They should just do an FAQ.
Yeah. I almost hope that these last two episodes are done with the pop-up video thing just to start, you know? I don't even – I want lots of explanation. But
yeah,
we'll get those later, I guess, on DVD. It'll be debated for years. I guess the bigger question overall is, like, right now, knowing what has happened with this season and really knowing – you know, the overall direction that the show went in. Are we happy with it, I guess? I think I still am. I guess.
Yeah, I am.
And I was happy, but I was happy with Battlestar Galactica up until, like, the last 20 minutes. And then it all fell apart. So
right.
I hate to compare those two, but, you know, it could be comparable. So we'll see. It's not going to be like the beautiful wrap-up of The Wire, which you have never seen, but might be the greatest ending of a series ever that, you know, managed to keep you happy and tie up a lot of loose ends and yet still just be, you know, a perfect thing for a show that was all about loose ends.
Okay.
Someday you'll
see it. Sure beats Cut to Black.
Now, see, I still think that was a pretty good ending, you know.
Really?
Because how many endings of TV shows are we still talking about years later? You know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I never saw The Sopranos, so I only know what Zeitgeist has told me.
Yeah. If you know, how can you have lived in Jersey for so long and not – oh, well, probably –
that's precisely why. Jersey. Because I lived it. Well, not to that fictional extent, but, you know, if I wanted to see mafia-associated people I need to only look out the window. But I wanted to get your opinion on this restaurant.com thing.
What about it?
So, I don't know. I encountered it a couple months ago on Consumerist, and it's basically this website, and you put in a zip code, and it gives you a list of participating restaurants. And it's never like – it's not chains or anything like that. It's like local places. And the idea is you're supposed to – you buy a $25 car, you know, like gift card or – you know, whatever, yeah, for $10.
They've got $10 gift certificates for $4 and a $25 gift certificate for $10.
Right. Okay. And this is the thing. So basically, ostensibly, you're buying a $25 worth of credit at one of these restaurants for $10. But they're always having these sales. So it's like 50% off, 60% off, 70%, 80% off. So a couple months ago, I bought $25 gift certificates to a bunch of local places for $2.
Carrabba's?
No, no chains.
Oh.
It's all local places, but good places. So I'm thinking to myself, we used a couple of them, and there's a couple of catches. It's like either it has to be dinner only, you know, dine-in only, you know, $35 minimum, 2-entree minimum, doesn't include alcohol. There's a bunch of, you know, mild requirements that you have to fulfill.
Okay.
But I was expecting, like, when I handed in the, you know, this, you print it out, it's got a barcode and a number and everything like that. And I was expecting the first time I handed it in to be like, aha, you fell for that, huh? You know, like, type of thing. But no problems, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, it's like, how is this possibly, like, a real thing? How is it that I'm getting, you know, and, you know, restaurants operate on minimal margin. So how am I able to buy $25 worth of restaurant for, you know, $2 or $3 or even 10, you know, if I paid full price? And how is this able to be like a thing?
Wait. I mean? So you're not even complaining here. You're saying that this worked as advertised.
Yeah.
And
it seems too good to be true.
It does seem too good to be true. I mean, I'm looking at this right now. Some of these places around Ithaca and that I've looked up, $100 gift certificate for $40.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
– but like right now it's 60% off. But they – I get a couple of emails a week from them, and it could be 50% or 60% or 80%. So you could get – you know, you could get these things for considerably less than the face value. And I'm trying to figure out who's making money here. You know what I mean? It's like what's in it for them? What's – I mean, I guess the restaurant gets you to come in, but –
And they do work with some chains. They have an ad right here. It says features restaurant, says House of Blues and Gameworks. Gameworks, is that a restaurant?
I have no idea what that is.
I wonder if that's that place in Boston that is like a food place with tons of arcade games around.
Oh, that sounds like Dave and Buster's. They have that down here. Not here in Naples. They have like one in Jacksonville.
I've only heard of Dave and Buster's because they've been talking about it on The Office in the last few weeks.
That's right. You saw it there. It's basically like Chuck E. Cheese for adults.
Ooh, now see that right? That is a tagline that makes me want to go start a new chain of restaurants right there. Chuck E. Cheese for adults. That's fucking awesome.
I know. I have a great name for it. Charles E. Cheese. Wait, shit, I got to patent that. I got to trademark that.
I think you'd still get sued. All right, so restaurant.com. Now, I wish you'd told me about this before because I think I might have saved some money.
Well, I bought the certificates back in March, and I used a few of them. Like I said, I was expecting that there was going to be some, like, you know, big catch, or they were going to be like, what is this crap, you know. And but I've used two or three of them. Like I said, I paid $2 for $25 gift certificates.
I mean,
you know,
there are some restrictions here. Like, I'm looking at one for a place, and it says, so if you get a $50 gift certificate for $20, it says minimum purchase $35.
Right.
18% gratuity added prior to discount.
Which is fine because, you know, I do that anyway. But, the requirements are minimal. They're not that –
present prior to ordering, valid for dinner only, one certificate per table, discount applied before tax and gratuity, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, these all seem – in fact, I think there's – I'm looking at one I think might be for a restaurant I'm planning to eat at tonight.
Really? Get it.
I think it's
you print them right out. Get it.
So you sign. You got to sign away. You know, some info though, right?
I mean, you have to give them a credit card, obviously. You buy them with your credit card.
And so they're gonna have. So I mean, that's gotta be it. Is basically they're getting a name from you. Like once these guys, restaurant.com, have your name and your email, you know, they're going to be able to market directly to you for these individual restaurants. What's amazing to me is that they're going to individual local places rather than big chains. This seems like the perfect thing for a Chili's or a Applebee's to want to be part of.
No, but see, on the contrary, I could see why it would be of interest to independent places, because it's basically marketing for them. You know, and it might get people to try a local place, whereas they might be stuck in a, you know, in a habit of only going to, you know, big chains. What I just don't get is the only thing I could think of is that restaurants that are like relatively new, maybe like been around for like 6 months to 2 years, might join this thing up and basically take a loss or eat a loss, no pun intended, to like, you know, to get people coming in. And then basically like once you're like, oh, I love this place, I'm going to keep going back. And then like, oh, no more coupon for you. You know, because I just can't see, you know, I don't see how me paying $2 for $25 worth of food is sustainable for them.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to buy like there's a place that's here that when next time you come, we'll take you. It's like Italian pasta and pizza from like Naples, Italy, okay. Which is supposedly like a very time honored way of doing it. And, I bought a couple of the, you know, things there, and I would love – that's the type of place I'd like to go like a couple of times a month. You know what I mean? And I feel like I should stock up now because when – but that's the thing. I just – it seems too good to be true. It seems like, you know, I'm getting – yeah, I'm giving it my name, sure, but all they ever send me is, hey, buy more coupons, you know, for
– well,
10, you know, for a discount. So what –
The more you buy, the more they're going to know your eating patterns too. So they're going to be able to target you with certain kinds of ads and, you know, for certain kinds of foods. I mean, that's good. I mean, it's really great for these small businesses. Again, it's not that I'm surprised that they're going with local small places to draw the people into those places. I'm surprised that they don't work with a Chili's or an Applebee's to, you know, make it a more national thing. But hell,
yeah,
maybe they're
working on that.
Maybe, and I'm all over this. I'm finding restaurants listed for Ithaca that I didn't even know existed. I've never even heard of Food for the Planet on Buffalo Street in Ithaca.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless that's also, you know, Moosewood Restaurant, because it looks like it's a vegetarian place. Maybe they changed their name and I didn't know about it. But
now, see, that's a good point right there. Places that you didn't even know existed. That's, I'm sure, a benefit for anybody that participates is that you didn't know. Now you know.
Yeah.
Now you might go in. But again, to me, it's like I can't see a restaurant staying on this thing. It would seem to me that they would join it for a limited amount of time just to get some visibility and some, you know, some advertising or marketing, whatever you want to call it. But if they stayed on this thing permanently, then you basically just keep getting, you know, you're basically eating up their margin by getting $25 worth for what, you know, like I said, the most you'll pay is 10. Like if there's no discount, you're getting $25 for 10, but there's always a discount going on. So you're really only paying 8, 4, 6, 2. And I can't see a restaurant, you know, doing that on an ongoing basis. They gotta jump out of the program at some point.
And it looks like I'm looking at one for Simeon's on the Commons, which is one of the best restaurants, biggest restaurants here in Ithaca. Uh-huh. And it literally says, act fast, only 9 certificates left.
Ah, okay. So there's actually a physical – that's interesting. I never saw that on any of mine.
Yeah, well, that's the only one I see it on. Maybe this is just so new or unknown in this area for the restaurants I'm looking at that maybe that's the case. But very cool. I'm gonna give this a try. I got to call my friends who I'm going to eat with tonight and see if we're going to actually eat at this place that is listed here. And then I'll grab this $50 gift certificate because we're easily going to spend more than $35 tonight. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, and they're good for a year. So basically that's the expiration. So you don't have to worry about using them. Or at least everyone I've gotten is good. Apparently those terms you were reading before are like generic terms. And then they may or may not apply to specific restaurants. So when you print out the certificate, you get their terms. Or when you look at it or whatever.
I'd also like to just go on the record and say, wow, we've actually just recorded a whole segment about something that's actually cool that we like. What is wrong with us today? So, my book.
Please tell us good news.
What about it? Does the world not already know? I feel like this happened like 2.5 weeks ago, so I feel like, you know, the world kind of knows. But maybe
that's true. Thanks to social networking.
I live in a very small world, though, so I have to keep that in mind.
So did you like send out postcards to notify everyone, or
yeah? Because
what mechanism did you use?
I live in 1974. In fact, I don't even know in 74 if I would have. If you could have done postcard. So here's the deal. I wrote a book. Actually, I've written 3 books. I'm always working on a book. I have been since I was like in my early 30s, been trying to write books. But I've actually finished 3 books. And by finished, I mean like wrote all the way to what I consider an end and wrote the end. You know, that does not mean they are necessarily finished. Books are, I think the best way to describe it is books are due. They're never finished because it's like, you know, you're never gonna look at it. It'd be like being a painter and looking at, you know, your brushstrokes and finding like the one thing that's off, and everybody thinks it's a masterpiece, but you know, you're never gonna be happy with it. If you're any kind of perfectionist or, you know, give a shit about quality, you're never happy. And I certainly am not.
I'm not even happy about most of the 1,000-word articles I write. So you're right. They are due. They're never finished.
Exactly. So, but what happens is you finally get to a point where you have to be like, oh, my God, I can't work on this anymore. I've tweaked the crap out of it, and it's pretty much, you know, done. And this was the first novel I wrote that I had a lot of people read up front because I was getting critiqued as I wrote it. So, you know, people have actually read this book, finished reading it, know how it ends, and, you know, I got feedback that I used to make substantial changes to it, which I thought improved the quality. And by doing that, I got to an end point with the book and I was happy with it. And I finished it, I'm going to say in early 2008. I sent out queries to a number of agents, you know, not a huge amount. I probably could have done a lot more with it, but, you know, I had other stuff come up in my life. I started another book. And so I let the agent dance die on that particular book. And I'd had good luck getting an agent with my first book, even though it didn't sell. And that was a whole other story. And that agent is, you know, wasn't interested in this book. So it was done. I mean, I figured this book, which is called Beta Test, was over and done with. I didn't think I was going to do anything more with it. But I was lucky enough to meet a publisher who is a friend of a friend. He published my friend's book. Met him at a convention in August of last year, August of 2009 in Montreal. And My friend kept telling me, oh, you got to tell this guy about your book. You got to tell him about your book. And I was like, no, I can't do that. Oh, I'll feel like a big tool. No, no, no. And then, you know, we went out and had dinner, and I got just drunk enough where I felt comfortable being, you know, a pushy douche. And I so we went for a walk after dinner, and he's like – and he actually said to me, so tell me about your book. And so I was like, I will do this. And I told him. I gave him the pitch. And he said, this sounds really good. You should send it to me when you get back home. So 2 days.
And you're like, I just happen to have a copy right here.
Yeah. I probably literally did and like have it on like the laptop in the hotel room. But I waited, got back home, did up like a nice kind of formal letter, sent it to him with a digital copy of the manuscript and said, that good. And that was August of 2009. So April of 2010. He called me one night to say he's going to publish it. It takes him a while to read these things. Plus, he's probably got a backlog of, like, God knows how many manuscripts ahead of mine. But, yeah, he liked it enough to want to purchase the book, you know. And by purchase, I mean he's buying the rights to publish it, and he's going to give me an advance. It probably is not going to, you know, be a lot of money, and I don't care because it's a publishing credit that is with a actual legitimate – reputable small press publisher. I mean, it's not Random House, but then again, you know, I got nothing to complain about. You know, it's going to be out there and doing more than I ever thought it was going to. But it won't come out until 2011 because the publishing industry moves like frozen molasses.
In January.
In January. In the middle of an ice storm.
On the dark side of the moon.
In northern Minnesota, transplanted to the dark side of the moon. Yeah, it's very slow. So, you know, I don't care, though. I'm going to be published, and I will have books. And what's really nice is the third book that I wrote, I'm still actively trying to get an agent for. Now I can tell people who, when I write them a letter, I can say, hey, I got a book coming out. Maybe they'll take me more seriously.
Right. That's currency right there.
I hope so. You know, every little credit you have helps, in theory. So, yeah, that's the story of the lifespan of this book as is.
And too bad it has to wait till 2011, though. Gosh, don't they know it's 2010? Things should happen faster.
You would think they would have faster. I mean, hell, I could do an ebook of it tomorrow. I mean,
are they actually growing the trees now that they're going to use to form the pulp that will?
What's nice is this publisher does stuff pretty much print on demand. So unlike a big Random House or somebody like that who would print maybe let's say 10,000 copies of a book, and then hope that they would get ordered. And then have them available to bookstores and Amazon and so forth. He's only going to print what he gets ordered. So it's a little slower in getting out there. But once it's out there, he can then print more as needed. He's not going to have a warehouse full of stuff that has to be pulped and turned back into paper.
Or worse, discounted.
Yeah, discounted or the cover ripped off and sold on a street corner in New York City. Which, I mean, the day my book hits the bargain bin for a dollar, at least I'll know it's out there.
Yeah.
That's better than total obscurity, which is what I got now. So I'll take it.
Right.
Yeah, that's better than nothing.
No, definitely.
So, yeah, that's it. I will happily hand-signed copies for anybody who wants to buy one from me or from my publisher. I will autograph every single copy personally to people to tell them just how much they mean to me, even if I've never met them.
Well, I wish to be on that list, but I want my book to include a special witticism only for me.
Oh, I'll have witticisms for everybody, but your witticism will be extra, extra special.
Okay.
Don't you worry. And I might draw a little picture of poop on it. Just 'cause. With stink lines coming off.
Poop in motion?
Poop in motion.
Motion lines and stink lines?
No. There, I can do that if you want. Motion lines like of it hitting the floor.
Right. No,
that's nasty. I'm glad I managed to take that entire nice topic and turn it into a scatological bit of humor at the end. That's my gift right there to you. Why is George Pataki a douche considering he's not even – is he anything anymore?
Well, he's a TV spokesperson, apparently, because I was the last couple of weeks I've been seeing ads of some group of his, and I don't remember the name, but suffice it to say that they want to repeal Obamacare. And they show this, guy dressed like Paul Revere, and they're like, Paul Revere rode to tell people that their freedom was in jeopardy. And then at the end of the commercial, you see George Pataki, governor. It says Governor George Pataki saying, let's repeal Obamacare. Let's preserve our freedom. And I'm thinking to myself, George Pataki, did anybody ever know who George Pataki was?
Well, there was
much less here in Florida. I guess you had said that he gets the honorific of governor, even though he's no longer governor. But I mean, the implication is clearly that he's somebody that matters. And
well,
he's not.
In Florida, the vast majority of citizens there probably don't remember who the last governor was, so they might think Pataki was a former Florida governor.
Yeah, that's true. But it's just funny because he never had a national profile. You know what I mean?
True.
George Pataki never had a national profile, and the notion that he's on this commercial. I think if anything, he probably hurts their cause because they're who's this fucking guy?
Yeah. Elliot Spitzer wouldn't have had a national profile.
Right. See, they should have hired Elliot Spitzer to say, me and the rest of the liberal assholes are going to take your freedom.
Yes.
After we put you on our death panel.
I think anybody who calls it Obamacare is just immediately an idiot too. But,
You know, the left did it with Reaganomics.
Oh yeah.
I guess when they put your name into the word, it's automatically a pejorative, right?
Yeah.
It's never a good thing.
Well, unless you can turn it around. Now, in 10 years, if all of the healthcare changes that are going to be made are kicking ass and everybody loves them, then Obamacare will be called, you know, a great thing. Because there's a lot of Republicans who would think Reaganomics was the shit. They love that, you know, because anything right. they think anything Reagan ever touched automatically turned to gold. Right. So, you know, he's like the touchstone for them. Used to be like the party of Lincoln. Well, they really want to be the party of Reagan.
By the way, do you know they want to put that motherfucker on money?
Lincoln? That no. fucking guy?
Reagan.
Oh,
they
right.
want to put him on the 50, I believe.
Of course they do. Why wouldn't they? He's like I said, he's the ultimate sign of you know, of a Republican who did okay, did everything right, didn't go to war. All he did was bomb Gaddafi, and nobody has ever had a problem with that.
Oh, he invaded Grenada.
He invaded, yeah, but nobody remembers it. It's not like – that's not the quagmire of Vietnam or Iraq. So,
no, that's
you know,
true.
It's a it, – believe me, he's what they all want to be over there. But, right. Yeah, I don't know. I to be – I have, did not follow the Obamacare stuff enough to even know – I don't know when any of this stuff even goes into effect.
Some of it went into effect immediately, but it goes into effect between now and I believe 2014.
So there's years to know before we'll know any of it, and they can change everything between now and then. You know, it doesn't.
Right.
I mean, did you see that latest thing where there was some bill that was going to, I don't know, provide money for something, and the Republicans?
I'm against that.
Yeah, the Republicans put something on it that made it look like it was going to be okay for government workers to surf porn at work.
Oh, yeah, that thing you sent me.
Yeah, I don't even know. I didn't pay attention. But so anything can be just messed up by putting too much crap on it in the government. You know, there's no such thing as a clean bill. You can't have a bill that says, I am for or against this, because they'll immediately – pork it up with something else, and then you can't say I'm for or against this, but then because you say if you're for this, oh, then you're also for the raping of small ponies on the, you know, the lawn in front of the White House, because that's what we added in by the way. So are you for raping ponies, Senator?
We will now call roll on the comprehensive health care and killing puppies bill.
Exactly. You know, so they can't say yay or nay just cleanly to anything. And it's not – both right. sides do it. It's not like it's a big secret. It's just
– yeah.
It's one of those things that they should fix, but they never will, because right. that's how they play their game.
That's an indictment of our system that, you yeah. know, they, that such nonsense games can be played with a, you know, inattentive public. And, you know, that shit should never fly. But
never, ever.
We kind of allow that by being more concerned about what Kim Kardashian's ass size is than what's
Kim,
going on in our government.
How is Kim's ass this week? So, hey, thanks everybody for tuning in once again to an excellent, excellent edition of Facts Are Meaningless.
Yes, if you'd like that time back, please send us a self-addressed stamped envelope.
And we'll send you back what? Nothing. I got
a picture of a clock drawn on an index card.
Yes, running backwards because yeah. we want you
with motion lines.
With motion
and stink lines.
I'm going to put stink lines all over it because I'm going to have taken a dump inside that fictional clock. That's what I think of your time, and that's why I've wasted it here with this podcast. So screw you very much, and thanks for listening. If you'd like to send us a message, you can email us or send us comments right here on factionmeaningless.com. You could also comment on Facebook because we post all sorts of stuff there, and on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/egriffith. You can actually find Joe on Twitter, though he doesn't realize it, at twitter.com/josephmoran.
Oh, I realize it. I just haven't like – I have like 28 followers, but they're just pretty
really?
Much fake people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. I have like over 300 followers, and I think maybe 50 of them are real.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no, there's probably slightly more than that. But so many people follow me that are PR people for, you know, the tech industry that, you know, I feel like it's more fun to put up stuff that is just nonsense.
What's Eric going to do next?
Did Eric buy a bicycle? Did Eric take a dump in a clock? What did he do? We don't know. Oh, please, PR people, if you're listening to me talking about taking a dump in a clock, please leave a comment. That would be awesome. Yes, my mother would be so proud.
A dump in a clock. That's going to have legs.
The dump clock.